Hello there. Welcome into this Wednesday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton here at the microphone, your sometimes humble host, for this daily hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. And boy, did we have our dose of absurdity yesterday. Yeah, we're going to talk about the hearings, or the non-hearings, or the grandstandings. I think that's what it should have been called, the congressional grandstanding, because that's really what it was. So how are you today? I hope you're well. I hope you and yours are doing fine, and that everybody is healthy and safe in this country that's being allowed by Democrats to slowly spin into turmoil for political advantage. It's just insane, absolutely insane. But it is the way the Democrats do things, and we need to be paying close attention to what's going on. Yesterday around our place, life was rather uneventful. I mean, trust me, there's not much exciting about cutting wood and gluing and screwing pieces together and making a door. There's just not that much excitement about it. Now, if you were a fan of Norm Abrams' new Yankee Workshop, you might have gotten excited, but probably not, because I'm building this. I've mentioned a couple of times. I'm making this door to go over our laundry in front of the laundry. We've had this bifold, this wooden bifold door there ever since we've moved in, and we've finally gotten to the point where, all right, this is nuts. And I think it came to a head when we replaced the washer and dryer. And I told you that story a while back about my buddy Mike calling me up and saying, hey, do you guys still need a washer and dryer? And need actually was not the right term. We'd like to have another washer and dryer, because the ones that we have are, well, I'm not saying they're old, but Noah's wife used to use them. So I said, yeah. And what had happened was that there was a guy who had a rental property, and he was getting rid of the rental property, and he just wanted to get rid of the appliances, and the washer and dryer were up for grabs. And I was able to get them both for $50. Front loaders, Samsungs, 6 or 7 years old, not that bad. I had to take the washer apart and do a little repair work on it, but it's working great. Jane is tickled to death with it, with both of them. And we just couldn't be happier, honestly. They're just great. But they are front loaders, which means you have to have a pedestal to put them on. You really do need a pedestal to put them on, because to load and unload, you have to bend down a long way. And for those of us of advanced years, that can be a little bit of a little trouble, a pain in the back. And so I built a stand to put them on, and now they're in their little nook and on their stand, and the bifold doors that have been there since we moved in don't open quite far enough to easily open the little drawer that you put the detergent and the fabric softener into. So it's a bit of a struggle. So Jane said, boy, it'd be nice to change to replace these doors. Just put regular doors in front of this thing. Or maybe one of those sliding barn doors. That would be neat. And I started thinking, see, this is where the trouble starts. I started thinking. And I came up with an idea, which would be fairly cheap. Let's see, how much have I spent? I think I have spent less than $50 so far just on some 1x4 planks and some little plates, some screw-on plates to go on the backside to hold some things together as the glue sets up and everything dries. And I'm using New Yankee Workshop. I'm using biscuits, joiners, you know, joining biscuits. And I've had a biscuit joiner, a tool and biscuits and such for doing stuff like this for a long, long time. And so I drug the tool out, and I drug out the little container of the biscuits. And the way they work, in case you're uninformed, is the tool actually creates a slot in the wood, in both sides of the wood that you want to join edge to edge. And the biscuit, what they call a biscuit, is a little almond-shaped, flattened, squished piece of wood. And when I say squished, I mean, whoa, it's been squished. It's been squished. All of the moisture has been shoved out of it. It's been dried in an oven, and it's this little narrow sliver of wood that you slide into the slot, which you have filled with glue. You put glue in the slot, and you put the little biscuit in there, and the biscuit absorbs the moisture in the glue and swells up, making for an extremely tight fit in the slot. And so you run the glue down the edges of the two pieces, like two boards you want to put together, and you have your little biscuits in their slots with the glue in the slots, and you take a few clamps and you hold it all together until it sets up, and all those little biscuits swell up and tighten up in those little holes, and next thing you know, it's all sealed up together, and it's fairly solid. And I'm at the point now where I have all of those bifold doors, those louvered bifold doors, I have them all joined edge to edge, and I'm wrapping around the edges of them. I'm making a frame out of 1x4 lumber to go around the edges of them to fill the space out, because the door has to be bigger than the opening. So I'm making it a little bit bigger, and it's all going to be flush and sanded down and look pretty good and painted all one color and hang from a barn door rig. You know, one of those rolling, sliding barn door hardware things. Managed to find one on Amazon, relatively cheap. And so, well, so I take that back. I've got about $150 in the door, including the hardware. But I think by the end of today, I will have the door finished completely, well, except for painted. Because that's another thing we have to talk about is paint. What color do you want these? Oh, I don't know. I'll have to think about it. And we've been thinking about it for quite a while, because I haven't gotten an answer yet. So I may end up making an executive decision, which will either be wonderful or I'll have to do it again. So you hubbies know what I'm talking about, don't you? Anyway, but that's what's happening around my place. That's really about all there is. That and canceling, moving, changing dental appointments. I've done it like 3 times now because sessions get scheduled and blow my appointment away. So I have to do that. But oh, did I mention that I was on my way to the dentist the other day in the Miata? Remember the Miata project? And it started shuddering and shaking and going crazy, and I didn't know what was wrong. And I thought, oh great, part of what I worked on was the steering components in the front end. I replaced ball joints and such in the front end. And I thought, oh great, what have I done wrong? It's coming apart. One of the wheels is coming off. This is bad. And I limped it over to where my wife works, and they still have it. It turns out one of the tires separated. One of the tires was coming apart. And another one is on its way. So I'm buying 2 new tires. So, but it's not that big a deal. It's not a daily driver. It's not something I drive around all the time, and I put a lot of wear and tear on. I'm going to buy the least expensive tires I can get for it in the right size, and it'll just be our little weekender like it always has been. Anyway, that was a scary experience, but I should have that car back later today, and I'm looking forward to that because I do enjoy driving it. And that's about it. As far as personal stuff is concerned, so I've spent 9 minutes telling you stories you may not care about, but let's go to something I think we all care about.
I'm reclaiming my time, Mr. General.
And my time is limited. I have the time.
So what?
I'm
answering your question.
Well, you got to let him answer.
Reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time, sir. Reclaiming my time, and I know you don't want to answer.
I'm not saying that.
I reclaim my time.
Reclaiming my time.
Reclaiming my time, Mr. Attorney General. Reclaiming my time.
Reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time, Mr. Attorney. Reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time, Mr. Barr.
Okay, reclaiming my time. Excuse me, the time is fine.
I'm starting to lose my temper. Excuse me, Mr. Barr, this is my time, and I control it.
Reclaim my time, sir.
Reclaiming my time. Okay, reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time, sir.
I will get to that. Reclaiming my time. You answered the question. Mr. Attorney General, reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time.
We've waited a long time for you to come here. The time is mine. The time is mine.
Substances.
Attorney General, reclaiming my time.
Reclaiming my time, sir.
Out of rule, I think DHS.
Reclaiming my time. I'm surprised at your lack of respect. for a member of Congress.
And that's how yesterday went. A panel of Democrats and Republicans in the House of Representatives sat down with Attorney General Bill Barr. The Democrats are attempting to impeach our Attorney General. They want to criminalize his responsibility and enforcement of the law. He is, by far, I would say in that room yesterday, he was by far the most intellectually superior and honorable person in the room. This is a man who knows his job, and he does his job. To the extent that he disagrees with the president when the president is wrong, he does not rubber stamp anything. But if a request is within the law and not illegal, then he will fulfill that request. Now, the Democrats basically were grandstanding yesterday. This is what they do best. They call a hearing, they stage a hearing, and then refuse to hear what the person of focus has to say. This is an opportunity for Democrats to create sound bites for the progressive news media. It is nothing more. What they are trying to do is to paint a broad picture of illegal activity on behalf of the President of the United States in order to get him reelected. Now, let's be clear about something. President Donald Trump does not need, I shouldn't say it that way. I should say this way. Democrat Joe Biden doesn't need their help. He's doing enough on his own to prove to America he's unworthy. Donald Trump, honestly, could just lower his head, push forward, and do his job. And America, real Americans, who have learned not to trust the news media, will notice and say, you know what? This guy needs 4 more years to fix some problems. And they'd reelect him. But the Democrats are desperate for power. You remember the other day, it was Sunday, when Representative Jerry Nadler called the Antifa protests a myth spread only in Washington, D.C. Well, now we know why. We know why he called the Antifa protests a myth. And we saw it play out during the hearing. The Democrats want voters to believe that President Trump is creating a campaign narrative, that he's using the peaceful protests as the backdrop. Peaceful protests. The words they use. Peaceful protests and peaceful protesters. This also explains why the progressive mayors of these riot-torn cities keep insisting that the presence of federal troops is fanning the flames of violence. The Democrats want voters to believe that President Trump is sending federal officers to these cities to create violence for the purpose of a re-election campaign. This is what the Democrats are doing. They're trying to impeach someone who is eminently more qualified than all of them from the office of Attorney General. I mean, they wouldn't let him talk because every time he began to answer and tell them the truth, they realized they were in trouble and they started the, hey, I'm reclaiming my time thing. And it went on and on and on and on. They weren't interested in learning the truth. They were interested in a witch burning, which is what they were doing yesterday. It was tough to watch. The Democrats were grilling Bill Barr, ignoring his answers, refusing to allow him to speak, knowing that they're lying, that they're weaving a false narrative of deception, that they're attempting to destroy one of the most qualified people in Washington, D.C. because of their lust for power and control. It was tough to watch. And personally, in spite of that, I believe yesterday's hearings, as disgusting and revolting as the Democrat performances were, they should be put on an endless loop and broadcast for all Americans to watch 24/7. Because the more we see of the true nature of the Democrat Party, the better it is for this country. So that people will actually see what's really going on and what these people are really all about. And it's not about the good of the people. No. It's about regaining power and control. Welcome back. It's the Daily Perspective. For Wednesday, that is, the 29th of July, 2020. And big apologies for no podcast yesterday. And I actually recorded one. I did one. The recording was so janked up. It was so weird. There was no way I was going to release it. I mean, it was, trust me, it was weird. Weird. On my end, it was weird. I have rebooted the computer that was handling the recording. I have set up a backup, a local backup version of recording. So I have two recordings rolling at one time. And yesterday, usually what I do in this instance, if something goes wrong locally, I'm fairly confident I've got a copy anyway, because Facebook has it. Facebook records the live stream, and I just go back, and there are some online services you can use to download Facebook video, and I'll just download the Facebook video and pull the audio off of that. That's what I usually do. But yesterday, when I realized, oh no, this is bad. Oh no. I thought to myself, self, no biggie. Just get the Facebook version. It'll take you a little longer to get it done, but hey, there you go. You've got one. Cool. So I go and download the Facebook video, and I pull the audio stream off of the Facebook video, and I hit play. There's nothing there. Nothing. Now, I'm looking at, actually, I'm turning to one side here, looking at this big monitor over here to my right, and I can see the levels bumping. I can see in my recorder the levels bumping. I can see in OBS, which is feeding Facebook, I can see the levels bumping there. I have looked at the stream on Facebook itself. In fact, I will do it right here. I'll go to Live Producer. Let's see. Can I do this here? Let me start that playing. And let's see if that's going to pull up here. Are we? Oh, it's zeroed out. I will do it right here.
See?
I'll go to Live Producer. Let's see. Can I do this here? And that's the stream coming in from Facebook. So I know Facebook is getting the audio. So I have it three different ways today. And afterwards, I am going to go back and check the Facebook recording. And my reason for doing so is because I got a notice yesterday that the reach of this channel has been restricted because I posted a link to the video of the press conference with the doctors talking about hydroxychloroquine. Like thousands of other people, I posted a link to a video with some people who have a medical opinion. And the truth arbiters at Facebook decided that you didn't deserve to hear it or see it. Nobody should hear or see what these doctors have to say. They have determined that they are the ones who can tell you what is true and what is not. That you, bless your poor little heart, are not intellectually capable of determining what's real and what isn't real. And you know what's interesting is I've been noticing the comments of friends on social media about that particular video. And generally speaking, this is conservative people, mind you. The liberal people are just like, wow, look at all those crackpots of stupid people. They're trying to destroy these doctors. The conservatives, though, are saying, well, to say there's a cure might be a bit of a stretch, but to say there's a treatment isn't, because we're seeing hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of cases cited by doctors where hydroxychloroquine has helped. And we're seeing testimonies of people who've been in the hospital and have been prescribed hydroxychloroquine along with a couple of other things, zinc and azithromycin. And their recovery has been rapid. Is it universal? No. No medicine is universal. There is not a one-size-fits-all solution for any medical problem. There are always going to be variants. Always. Because every person and everyone's body is a bit different. Generally, things work in the same way, but there are always little tweaks that they end up making. Dosage changes, you know. But because currently the accepted narrative is that hydroxychloroquine is unproven and unsafe, in the face of all of the testimony that it's been effective, because progressives want to think for you, they reduce the reach of the Facebook page for this podcast. And I got to be honest with you. I am this close. I mean, my fingers are close, so close together. That's like the distance. That's a frog's hair. I'm so close. So close to just dropping the Facebook feed anyway. Because I think they've been restricting it for a while. Because the usual suspects, the gang that I used to see, see them commenting, hey, how you doing? They're chatting with each other, doing the back and forth. The number has dropped drastically. I think I'm being clamped down on anyway. So I'm thinking about just making this a daily podcast with no live feed, or taking the podcast live feed over to YouTube. Now, I'm also aware that if I go to YouTube, the same thing's probably going to happen. That it'll get earmarked, that my bumper music will get tagged, I'll get challenged. I will probably face the same problems I have at Facebook. But it's worth a try, right? I could also try it on Twitter and see how it works there. And I guess that reinforces the importance of subscribing to the podcast. So if you're listening, if you by some miracle can actually hear and see the podcast on Facebook Live right now, then I encourage you, if you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast so that it comes to your mobile device every day and you can actually plug in your earphones and listen to it every day. Start and stop, whatever you need to do, but it comes to you every day without restriction. I suggest that you do that today, because as we move forward, this issue is just going to get worse. I was torn between situation and issue. This scenario is just going to keep getting worse, because people who don't abide by the narrative are going to continue to be censored by those who compose the narrative. And that's just the way things are. So be aware of that. That right now, it's tough getting anything across on social media because the social media platforms are censoring things they don't like. And those who are the truth detectors, they're fact checkers, are all progressives. They're liberals. And when they don't like something, they challenge it. And if they can't prove it's not true, they will lie. And that's happening today. So just be aware. I will announce that there's going to be a move or a cancellation or whatever. But I'll try to keep doing the podcast version itself on a daily basis. Because I enjoy doing it. I think it's important. It's a good, well, on one hand, it's an outlet for me. It's a place for me to vent. It's a place for me to be able to express my view, how I see things. And on the other hand, the feedback I get from people is they appreciate being able to hear something besides what's coming in through their televisions every day and through the usual sources in talk radio. Don't get me wrong. I would love to be involved in talk radio again. In fact, Dave and I have been, you know, we've been texting back and forth over the last few days and and wishing we could be doing a fun morning show again and just talking about the topics of the day and having a good time. And it's just, you know, the window of opportunity for us is just not there right now. If it ever presents itself again, I'm pretty sure we will do it. And we will podcast that as well. Because, and we would probably sit down together and at least once a week do a podcast about topics that are on our minds. But at this point in time, the option's just not there. And I say all that just to say this. Facebook is making it difficult for me. And I'm thinking about moving somewhere else. So if you're one who is checking in occasionally on Facebook, just be aware that I could be dropping the Facebook feed sometime in the near future and looking at other options. Because as important as it is to get the word out in the hostile environment of Facebook, there are other options. We'll see. More of the Daily Perspective coming after the break.
Claiming my time, Mr. General.
My time is limited. I have the time.
So what?
And that's how it was yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time. I don't like the answer. By the way, you're telling the truth. That's very inconvenient. So I'm reclaiming my time. No, you can't talk anymore. No, sir. I'm reclaiming my time. No. We can't let people hear the truth. No. Oh, and that's kind of how it was yesterday. Bless our hearts. As a nation, we're honestly in a lot of trouble. We're in a lot of trouble because people keep reelecting these losers. There's no other word. These criminals in Congress, they keep going back in and they keep ignoring the law and just doing whatever the heck they want to do. And yesterday was an example. U.S. Attorney General William Barr defended himself in front of a Democrat-led House of Representatives committee, denying accusations that he abused his power to help President Donald Trump's associates and boost Trump's reelection hopes. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Gerald Nadler opened the hearing with scathing remarks. He told Barr, quote, "Your tenure is marked by a persistent war against the department's professional core in an apparent effort to secure favors for the president." The department's professional core. Let me translate that for you. Deep state insiders. Deep state insiders. People who were very happy with the lawless way the Obama administration handled things. And many of them hired in by the Obama administration. That's the department's professional core in the eyes of the Democrat department. And what they want you to believe as a voter is that the Trump administration is destroying the core, the heart and soul of America, when actually they're cleaning house and draining the swamp. You remember about draining the swamp? There's been a lot of swamp draining going on, and the Democrats don't like it. And their description of draining the swamp is a persistent war against the professional core of the Washington elite. William Barr pushed back. He said, "I feel complete freedom to do what I feel is right." He rejected a claim by Nadler that an operation to deploy federal agents to U.S. cities, particularly Portland, Oregon, was an effort to boost Trump's reelection campaign. Barr said he hadn't taken actions to help Trump's associates, saying they do not deserve special breaks, but also should not be treated more harshly than other defendants. The hearing actually marks Barr's first testimony before the House Judiciary Committee since he took office in February of 2019 comes as the Justice Department faces criticism for sending federal officers to forcibly disperse protesters in Portland, Oregon, and Washington, D.C. The department's internal watchdog launched probes last week into federal involvement in both cases. The United States has seen weeks of widespread, mostly peaceful protests against racial bias and police violence following George Floyd's death in the custody of Minneapolis police in May. And can I just say to the folks at Newsmax, by the way, this is where this is coming from, thank you for being accurate in saying George Floyd's death in the custody of Minneapolis police instead of the leftist line, which has been adopted by conservative news outlets, which is that he was killed by the Minneapolis police. We don't know that to be true. What we do know is that George Floyd had four times the level of fentanyl in his system necessary to kill a human being. Four times as much. Barr has highlighted the arson and violence that has broken out at some protests, blaming them primarily on far-left Antifa elements, and urging federal prosecutors to bring criminal charges whenever possible. He defended the use of federal law enforcement to quell the protests in Portland, where some protesters have thrown objects at the federal courthouse. He said, "What unfolds nightly around the courthouse cannot reasonably be called a protest. It is, by any objective measure, an assault on the government of the United States." In his testimony, he also downplayed accusations about systemic discrimination in policing across the country, saying it would, quote, be an oversimplification to treat the problem as rooted in some deep-seated racism. The threat to black lives posed by crime on the streets is massively greater than any threat posed by police misconduct, he said. He's absolutely correct. We've gone through the stats here before, and if you're new to the podcast, I suggest you go back and scan through show notes and you'll find the links to everything about the statistics, about where most crime is coming from, and the incredible percentage of crime committed by 13% of the population of America. And most of it is against their own community. The House Judiciary Committee launched a broad inquiry last month into whether the Justice Department had become overly politicized. The inquiry came after Barr intervened in several high-profile criminal cases involving people close to Trump. In February, he moved to scale back the Justice Department's sentencing recommendation for Trump's longtime friend Roger Stone, prompting four career prosecutors to withdraw. And do you know why they withdrew? Because someone who actually was following the law stepped in and said, "No, you're wrong." He actually said he agreed that Roger Stone should have been sentenced. He agreed that Roger Stone was guilty. He disagreed with the sentence because the sentence was something like four times as harsh as any other sentence for the same crime should be. It was clearly a political punishment. Was he guilty? Yes. Should he have been punished? Yes. To the extent that they wanted him to? Absolutely not. And that's why he stepped in. In May, Barr sought to drop the criminal charge against former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, setting the stage for an ongoing legal battle with the federal judge who was due to sentence Flynn, who pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI. Remember, he pleaded guilty to lying to protect his son because these people had already forced him to sell his home, had destroyed Michael Flynn's life. And now they were going to go after his family. In his testimony, Barr insisted that Trump hasn't attempted to interfere in the decisions. And in June, Barr ousted the top federal prosecutor in Manhattan, Jeffrey Berman, while that office was investigating Trump's attorney, Rudy Giuliani. Berman later told the committee, "I do not know what the attorney general's motives were." That's a lie, by the way. "But the irregular and unexplained actions by the attorney general raise serious concerns for me." By the way, progress. Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein's pal, has been hiding for a year, successfully. And as soon as Jeffrey Berman was taken out of the way, they found her. Go do a little digging. You can put the pieces together yourself. Well, he stood up against these people, rightfully so. He should have. He stood against these people who, again and again and again, interrupted him and wouldn't let him tell the truth about things. And eventually, it just became comical. I don't know if you watched. As I said before, it was tough. I would watch what was happening. I would see the posturing. And that montage that I played for you earlier, at the very end of that montage, hang on here. Let me see if I can find it for you. Let me see if I can play it from here. Let's see.
Claiming my time, sir.
Out of rule, I think DHS.
Claiming my time. I'm surprised at your lack of respect for a member of Congress.
That attitude was on display constantly. And if you can find, well, go look at the, if you can find the Facebook page, go look at the Facebook page, scroll down and find that particular story. There is a video. This is audio that comes from a video. You will see in that video the expressions on the faces of these people as they say, I'm reclaiming my time. How they look down at him. How they condescend to him. How they obviously see themselves as being far superior to him. And that little bit right there at the end, that little bit.
I'm surprised at your lack of respect for a member of Congress.
That little bit says everything. That they see themselves as so vital. And they're just absolutely offended that this man wouldn't just bow down before them and obey. It's just amazing. You really should watch the video. It's very, very telling. Very telling. Well, it was a train wreck of a hearing, to be honest with you. It was a train wreck of a hearing. And it came to a head when the attorney general was initially denied a 5-minute break during the Democrats' final few speakers on Tuesday. He'd been sitting there for 4.5 hours. He'd been drinking bottles of water, sipping bottles of water and coffee and the like. He'd been there for 4.5 hours. After 4.5 hours sitting in one place, consuming liquids, what would you need to do? What would you need to do? Well, Attorney General Barr asked for a break.
That objection, the material will be based.
Mr. Chairman, just for the record,
without objection,
a member of the Judiciary Committee, following the law,
without objection,
following the law should be something a member of the Judiciary Committee knows.
The gentleman
is pretty darn clear.
The gentleman will suspend without objection. The material will be entered into the record. Ms. Dean is recognized.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, could we take a 5-minute break?
Ms. Dean is recognized.
Could we take a 5-minute break, Mr. Chairman?
He just wants a 5-minute break.
That's a common courtesy,
Ms. Dean is
Chairman, of every witness.
I waited 45 minutes for you this morning. I haven't had lunch. I'd like to take a 5-minute break.
Mr. Attorney General, we are almost finished. We're going to be finished in a few minutes. We can certainly take a break, but
you're real class. Well,
okay.
Yeah.
After this, if you still want one, we'll have a break.
No, he wants a break now.
You want it now?
And you just mentioned rudeness. I think we're seeing it on display. Let's let the Attorney General have a break.
Committee will stand in recess now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
He had to beg for a break. Had to go to the restroom. They weren't going to let him. You're a real class act, sir. I don't think I would have used those words. Welcome back. to the Daily Perspective podcast. Here we go into the final segment for this Wednesday, the 29th day of July, 2020. Well, what have we talked about today? Personal stuff to start off, and then it's been the hearing, or the non-hearing, or the grandstanding. That's what it was. It was the grandstanding yesterday, featuring guest star William Barr, who didn't get many lines in the show because the regulars had to be in the spotlight all the time. What a dog and pony show. What political theater. That's exactly what this all is. It's political theater. This is the Democrats trying to make a case against Donald Trump by demonizing his attorney general. That's all this is. And they're bad at it. They're spectacularly bad at it. Because when someone as eminently qualified as William Barr sits in front of them, they have to shut him down when he begins to tell the truth. Because they can't have the truth getting out, can they? Of course not. And one example from yesterday, there are so many. So many. One actually accused William Barr of allowing Jeffrey Epstein's suicide. That he orchestrated it. That he allowed it to happen. That insanity, that amount of insanity was on display yesterday. It just makes you shake your head and wonder, wait a minute, is this real? Sadly, it is. Attorney General William Barr was testifying before the House Judiciary Committee Tuesday. He's been pretty much exposing the Democrats for the ridiculous folks they are over the federal response to the rioting by militant leftists in places like Portland. As Bill Barr said, this is basically an attack on the United States with a terrorist attacking the federal building and federal law enforcement for political reasons. The Democrats' reaction? Oh, the poor peaceful protesters. Democrats are not only seemingly unconcerned about that, but actually attacking the actions of the very law enforcement officers the radical leftists are attacking. Barr made it clear he doubted were the U.S. Capitol to be attacked by the violent militants that the Democratic side of Congress would actually stand up and defend it. But when Representative Pramila Jayapal, the Democrat from Washington, had her opportunity to question him, she thought she could trap him, talking over him, making a ridiculous comparison between the rioters and lockdown protesters who demonstrated at the Capitol in Michigan while carrying guns. By the way, she was part of that montage. Reporters like Timothy Burke thought this was remarkable. Said, well, this was remarkable. She was taking no prisoners, somebody said. Complete bald-faced false comparisons and lies often are remarkable. Talking over someone doesn't mean it's a good answer either. It just makes you rude, as well as false. So let's review. Lockdown protesters who went to the Michigan Capitol were armed, as they were legally allowed to be, but not one of them threatened any law enforcement officer while they were there. Not only were they peaceful, but they even let the police take their temperature to test that they weren't sick with the virus before entering the building. Once they finished peacefully protesting in the building, they went home. They were not all white. There were people of color. There was one person with a swastika on a sign, not because they were promoting neo-Nazism, but because the person was accusing the governor of behaving like a Nazi. A bad move, but it was completely miscast by Jayapal. No one damaged anything. No one threw explosives, Molotov cocktails, frozen water bottles, bottles of urine, balloons full of human feces, cans of food. No one tried to set them on fire. No one tried to dox them or their families. No one killed anyone. All of those things have been done by rioters supporting the BLM cause. And the last time we checked, rioters weren't letting the police check their temperatures to make sure there was no spread of the virus. Everyone who's seen the videos of what the rioters have done understands the difference. So why would Jayapal be encouraging a federal response of pepper balls against these peaceful protesters who were not violent at all, compared to the people she seemed to be defending. And as to those people, just to clear up another point, Antifa is made up not of people of color, as she claimed, but they're mostly white. But here's another point that the representative seems to have missed, and it's a pretty big one for someone in Congress to not understand. There was no federal property or law broken by any of the people in Michigan, as there was in Portland. Does she not understand the difference between state and federal property? So just stop with the racism, Representative Jayapal. You're defending and sticking up for terrorists who are attacking the United States. And just another point. Seattle and the former autonomous zone were in her district. She let that spread out of control, along with every other representative in the area, of the area, even being supportive of it. Two black teenagers were killed in that awful experimentation. At least two others were shot. She did nothing. They think they're winning with this line of attack. But it just shows more of the public how deranged and not even close to reality they are. As I said, this is what they're working on. This is why Jerry Nadler called the Antifa protests a myth, only being spread in Washington, D.C. People like Pramila Jayapal and the rest of the Democrats who were grandstanding yesterday in Washington, D.C., want voters to believe that President Trump is creating a campaign narrative, that he's using the peaceful protests as a backdrop to promote himself to become president again. And it explains why the progressive mayors of these riot-torn cities keep insisting the presence of federal troops is fanning the flames of violence. These grandstanding Democrats want voters to believe that President Trump is sending federal officers to those cities to create violence for the purposes of his reelection campaign, which is not the case at all, as was stated by Attorney General William Barr yesterday. A small number of federal officers were sent to Portland to protect federal property. Federal property. You know who that federal property belongs to? You. And me. It belongs to the people of America. It's federal property, paid for with our tax dollars. Our government is supposed to protect certain things in America. And federal property is under federal jurisdiction. And as Attorney General William Barr said yesterday, if the state and local police forces were allowed to do their jobs, then the federal forces would not have been necessary. This is true. But people like Pramila Jayapal are seeking to create a narrative. And that narrative is that none of this is actual violence. These are all peaceful protesters. They're moms. They're veterans. And they're being attacked by evil, vicious, violent federal officers. And the President of the United States cannot be allowed to serve four more years, or he just might do this to you. That's the narrative they're trying to create here. They're trying to craft a story for the gullible so that they will believe that Donald Trump is the one responsible for the violence. When in fact, those responsible for the violence are those committing the violence. I encourage you to do a little checking today, to do some digging. Take a look at the Facebook feed today, our Facebook page here at the Daily Perspectives Facebook page, if you can find it, because Facebook has restricted its reach. And look through the posts that I've put up in the last 24 hours. You will see some stories there about how Ami Horowitz went in to talk with these people. And he got words from their mouths about the necessity of violence and how they were actually all for it. Because in order to make change, they have to be violent. And how and what the change is going to be, what they see the change as being, is tearing down the American system of government. They are there fighting to destroy America. That's why they're there. That's it for today. God bless you. Have a good one. No podcast tomorrow. I have a very early session tomorrow morning. I can't be here and there at the same time. But we'll see you Friday for the next edition of The Daily Perspective. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.